Our gospel lesson this morning is taken from the gospel according to St. Luke chapter 9, verses 10 through 17, as we pick back up in our series in the gospel according to Luke, and where St. Luke wrote these wonderful words of life, these spirit-breathed words, which if received by faith, satisfy our eternal souls. The word of God as it comes to us in Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 10. On their return, the apostles told him all that they had done. And he took them and withdrew apart to a town called Bethsaida. When the crowds learned it, they followed him, and he welcomed them and spoke to them of the kingdom of God, and cured those who had need of healing. Now the day began to wear away, and the 12 came and said to him, "Send the crowd away to go into the surrounding villages and countryside to find lodging and get provisions, for we are here in a desolate place." But he said to them, "You give them something to eat." They said, "We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we are to go and buy food for all these people." For there were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50 each." And they did so and had them all sit down. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing over them. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. And they all ate and were satisfied. And what was left over was picked up, 12 baskets of broken pieces. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Let's look to our God once again in prayer. Lord Christ, you are the bread of life. Feed us who are hungry of soul with your matchless grace. Empower us by your Spirit to trust you, obey you, and be a blessing of provision in the lives of others. With thanksgiving we pray, to the glory of God our Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, here in this portion of Luke's gospel, he records the one miracle that our Lord performed, if you don't count the resurrection itself, but the one miracle that our Lord performed that's recorded in all 4 of the gospels. The feeding of the 5,000. As Luke is what it's often known as, the miracle of the loaves, the 5 loaves and 2 fish, or the feeding of the 5,000. As Luke told us in verse 14, there were indeed 5,000 men present. In Matthew's account, in Matthew chapter 14, Matthew is more explicit about what that meant. There were about 5,000 men, he said, besides women and children. So maybe there were 10,000, 15,000, 20,000 people gathered there in this desolate place just outside the town of Bethsaida. Whatever the total number of those who dined that evening, that would have been a lot of reservations to make, wouldn't it? Party of 15,000, you know. However many dined that evening, this was an unmistakable miracle performed by our Lord. Like all of the miracles, this is one that is meant to teach us spiritual lessons. Two spiritual lessons to consider this morning. First, Jesus is our provider. Jesus is our provider. And second, Jesus calls us as his disciples to participate in his ministry of provision. In the first place, Jesus is our provider. There are a number of details in Luke's account and in the other gospel accounts of this miracle that point to the fact that Jesus is indeed the God of the Old Testament, the one true and living God in the flesh who provides for all that he has made and especially savingly for all of his image bearers who turn to him in repentance and faith. After debriefing with his disciples after their stint of preaching and healing and casting out demons in his power, Jesus called them to withdraw with him to a town called Bethsaida, which was on the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee and hometown to fishermen Peter and Andrew, as well as Philip. Jesus called his apostles to come away with him, spend time with him, and be refreshed by him after their ministry labors. It was a time of retreat and refreshment. And so they went and they were undisturbed and they had a wonderful time of fellowship and refreshment in Jesus. Is that how it went down? The crowd heard about Jesus' presence. And understandably, who can blame them? They tracked him down. They wanted to be healed of their diseases physically, but for many of them, they were hungering, they were yearning for spiritual food and spiritual healing as well. And being Jesus, what did he do? He welcomed them. What a wonderful word that is there in verse 11. He welcomed them. That is one of the most wonderful words, isn't it? We have it on the front of our bulletin. This church opens wide her doors and offers her welcome in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. On what basis, with what authority do we have to welcome people in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, it's because of the kinds of things we know about Jesus that we see right here in this passage. Jesus is the welcoming Savior. The word welcome could be translated, he accepted them gladly. Jesus doesn't welcome sinners begrudgingly. He welcomes them gladly. Again, think of the father in the parable of the prodigal son that we'll hear about later in Luke chapter 15. Did the father welcome the prodigal home begrudgingly? No, he welcomed him home excitedly. He welcomed him home gladly. He threw a party for him with lavish food and, be careful, Presbyterians, dancing. That's the heart of Jesus. That's the heart of the Father revealed in Jesus. The welcoming God. This is how Jesus treats those who come to him in faith. In John chapter 6 and verse 37, he said, whoever, another wonderful Bible word, whoever, doesn't matter what you've done, I'm not passing out theological exams to see if I will accept you, to see if I will feed you. It's not a contest. It's just a matter of, do you see your need for mercy? Whoever sees their need for mercy, the mercy of God in the person and work of Jesus Christ, whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. I will never cast them out. I will never reject them. And this kind of hospitality is another hint at the identity of Jesus. He is the God of grace revealed now in our humanity. Psalm 27:10, for example, says, "Even if my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me in." The Lord Himself, who takes in the weary and the homeless and the orphaned, the Lord Himself was in the midst of this crowd, welcoming them, healing them, speaking words of grace to them. But as the day turned to night, the disciples came to Him and told Him to send the people away, back into town to find food for themselves. Notice the disciples were telling Jesus what to do. That's not how this, you know, Jesus and disciple thing is supposed to work. We sometimes know that from experience ourselves. That's not how this works. They told Jesus, send them back into town that they might find provisions. But Jesus had other plans, as He often does when His disciples tell Him what to do. Rather than sending them away, He told the apostles to feed them. "You give them something to eat," He said in verse 13. And the disciples, who had just returned from this Spirit-empowered tour of preaching and healing and casting out demons in Jesus' power and in His name, were now doubting that He could do through them what He was calling them to do. They protested. "We only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. It's probably a pickled fish, relatively small. It's not like the fish that swallowed Jonah, okay? It could not feed 5,000 men and plus the women and children. So they were protesting. "We can't do this thing you're calling us to do, unless perhaps we ourselves go into town and buy food for all these people." In Mark's account, in Mark chapter 6, they ask, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them?" That would have been about 200 days' wages for the average worker in their day. So they're being sarcastic with Jesus in their protestations. So the apostles told Jesus to send the people away. Jesus told the apostles to tell the people to sit down. Have them sit down in groups of around 50 each, He said. And then, after He prayed, you notice He prayed. He's God, and yet He's in the flesh, representing us. So, as we see highlighted in Luke's gospel and in the others, He was the man of prayer, representing us back to God. He's the perfect worshiper. He's the perfect man of prayer for us and our salvation. And you may have noticed that the language sounded familiar of that which he will later use, the gospel writers and St. Paul will later use to describe the way in which Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper as the Lamb of God there at Passover. And the other gospel writers, some of them make it more explicit what He prayed. It says, having given thanks. It's the exact same word where we get the word Eucharist that is used to describe the way in which Jesus prayed before He took bread and broke it and handed it to His disciples at the Last Supper in the institution of the Lord's Supper. So here we have God in our flesh about to do what God can do and yet representing us to God the Father as our representative, as our Savior. He prayed. He gave thanks for the 5 loaves and fish. And after that, a miracle happened. The food was multiplied and the people were fed. Again, this was a sign that Jesus was and is the God who provides. He was the God who had provided bread, manna from heaven, and water from the rock for his people in the wilderness, even though they were unbelieving many times and complaining and yearning for Egypt, he provided for them abundantly. He's the God of grace. After the crowd had eaten here outside Bethsaida and were satisfied, there were plenty of leftovers collected in how many baskets? 12. The number 12 was significant. Again, harking back to the wilderness and the way that God had provided for the 12 tribes of Israel there. Jesus, Luke is showing us again through this miracle, is the God of the Old Testament who shepherded his people when they least deserved it. Jesus is the shepherd of Psalm 23. In St. Mark's account, in Mark chapter 6, Mark tells us in verse 34 that when Jesus saw the crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And in verse 39 of the same chapter, Mark says that Jesus commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. You see what Mark is wanting us to make the connection with. Jesus is our shepherd in whom we lack no good thing. Jesus is our shepherd who makes us lie down in green pastures and leads us beside still waters and restores our souls. In John's account, in John 6, John tells us that Jesus performed this miracle just before the festival of the Passover. Jesus is the God of the Passover. He is the miracle-working God who delivered Israel from Pharaoh and who delivers us from Satan's power. He is the miracle-working God who delivered Israel from bondage in Egypt and the miracle-working God who by his grace delivers us from bondage to sin. He is the food of the Passover meal, the sacrificial lamb, the bread that satisfies, the wine that makes us glad. John tells us that on the next day, only hours after feeding the multitudes, Jesus said in John 6:35, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." The feasting and the satisfaction of the crowd, the abundance of blessing, more than enough, that they enjoyed is a picture of what happens when we trust Jesus. When we lift out our hands and receive him and trust him by faith. When we feast on him by faith. When we eat his flesh and drink his blood by believing in him and receiving his gospel and partaking of his sacraments and yielding to his spirit. This is the feast of faith and the satisfaction of soul that comes from trusting and following Jesus. Jesus is that good shepherd who never leaves us, who never forsakes us. He's the good shepherd in the valley of the shadow of death. He's the good shepherd who prepares a table before us even in the presence of our enemies. The shepherd who feeds us with his own flesh and blood. The good shepherd who ultimately laid down his life for his sheep. And thus we can trust him. We can trust him. We can trust him to provide for our every need. Jesus is our provider. And second, more briefly, Jesus calls us, his disciples, to participate in his ministry of provision. St. John Chrysostom, one of the early church fathers, was commenting on this passage. And he said, you know, sometimes we don't seek to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We don't seek to be agents, instruments of Jesus providing for others because we think that if we do that, we won't have enough provision for ourselves. But what is this miracle meant to communicate to us? No. As we look to provide for others, the Lord will provide abundantly above for us, more than we could ask or think. As they considered the vastness of the crowd and the lateness of the hour, the apostles initially instructed Jesus to send the crowd away, but he said, No. You give them something to eat. Jesus could have sent the crowd away. Jesus could have provided for the crowd apart from the disciples altogether. After all, in their lack of faith, they did not deserve to participate in this amazing miracle and provision. But Jesus called them into the blessing of taking part in his ministry of provision. He told them to assess the situation and see what they could do. And once they did that, once they went and saw that there were only 5 loaves and 2 fish, then he began to work through them. He wanted them to trust him, obey him, respond to him. In other words, open their hearts and hands to him before he was going to work through them. And as John's account reveals, it was a little boy in the crowd who provided these loaves and fish. Jesus, we can all take apple, but children, can Jesus use you? Yes, he can, St. John says in his account. The phrase there is little boy, the very young child that God uses to bless the multitudes. Jesus used one little boy's willingness to share. Children, do your parents ever tell you to share? Yeah, that must be learned. And we need the Holy Spirit ultimately to do that. Whether we're 5 years old or 55 years old or 85 years old, we need the Holy Spirit to share really and truly, with a heart of gratitude and joy. Jesus used this one little boy's willingness to share in order to bless thousands of people. So don't miss what God can do with childlike faith. What Jesus can do when we hand back to him what he has entrusted to us. What Jesus can do when we are willing to share and give and bless. The little boy had relatively little, relative to the need. He had relatively little. Jesus used it to do incredibly much. He's the God who multiplies our efforts and our resources. So let us move forward in 2023 with that mentality and that faith. Let us offer ourselves and all that God has given us, the breath we take, the minds we have, the hearts which are his rightful home, the talents, the time, the treasure he has blessed us with. Let us give those right back to him and say, Lord, here am I. Here is this that you have given to me and trusted to me. Thank you for it. Help me to use it. Guide me. Grant me wisdom in using it to bless others and multiply it beyond what I can ask or think. And let us have this attitude about the good news of our Lord and Savior. Let us look out upon the crowds. Out. Valentine and beyond. That's our motto. Let us look out beyond these walls to the multitudes. And more specifically, the individuals. We don't want to be like evangelistic and missions minded and all that in theory. Look at, think about, pray about the individuals we know who are like sheep without a shepherd, who are hungering in their souls. They wouldn't diagnose themselves that way, just like we wouldn't have before we knew the shepherd. Let us show them the compassion of Jesus rather than sending them away. Let us love them and welcome them and seek to feed them the bread of heaven, Jesus Himself, that they may have abundant, satisfying life in Him by looking to Him in faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.